Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and what a start to 2021. The first week of January brought us riots in the US, a missing Boeing 737, and also reports that Jack Ma still hasn't been seen since last October. Now, this week, the US House of Representatives will take up a resolution to impeach President Donald Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told lawmakers last night that they would first vote on a resolution this week calling on Vice President Mike Pence and the cabinet to remove President Donald Trump from office before moving into impeachment. What a way to start the new year. And to bring us up to the latest on the headlines to watch this week, we're joined now by Derek Wallbank, and he's the senior editor at Bloomberg. Derek, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, it's great to be here with you again, Rachel.
It's always wonderful to have you with us. So Derek, let's start off with what's happening over in the US. As I mentioned, Nancy Pelosi, she said that Democratic leaders will request unanimous consent in the House for a resolution urging Vice President Mike Pence to convene a cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment to the Constitution. What does all of this mean for Donald Trump?
Well, let me start by explaining this procedure to the audience here, because you've never seen this before in American history. This actually was something cooked up to answer the question of what do you do if the president is medically incapacitated? What happens if the president of the United States has a stroke and is in a coma and can't be woken up? Who's running the country? That's the question this is designed to answer. And so the idea that Democrats have here is that Donald Trump, in their view, is such a clear and present danger to the United States that he is no longer fit for office and should be removed this way. Now, to say that that is a staggering statement is an understatement here. There's not any indication that Mike Pence is looking at going this route. Mm-hmm. He has for 4 years been a very loyal guy for the president, and there's not any indication yet that he's looking at doing that, nor that the entire cabinet would sign off. And there have been conflicting reports about how seriously that's being taken. And I will say, though, on the impeachment side, there's never been a president impeached twice. Could happen this time. But you're having a problem with the calendar here. And the problem with the calendar is there's just days between now and January 20th.
Nine days till the inauguration, Derek. Is there time for any of this to be enacted before we see the inauguration take place next week?
Yeah, what you're dealing with here is a calendar problem combined with the idea that Democrats don't feel like that they can let this go, because literally the U.S. Capitol was stormed by Trump supporters trying to prevent a vote from certifying Joe Biden as the president. And that is a very major thing. And you are seeing arrests around the United States of people who were involved in that. But the simple fact that they were egged on, that they went in, that some people went in armed, and there are multiple people dead as a result of this. I mean, it's in the Democratic view, and what Speaker Pelosi has said repeatedly is we just can't let that go.
So what can we expect to happen next then, Derek?
Well, I think that you're going to have, you know, those procedures that we talked about, Democrats are going to move forward there. Mm-hmm. You know, the president, since Twitter took away at real Donald Trump, has been uncharacteristically quiet. I'm not sure that I expect that to last very long. So let's see what he says. I don't want to talk about Donald Trump's tone, because that's a little bit of a thing that people do and get mocked repeatedly for it, and deservedly so. But I do want to actually see what he's saying, where he's going. Because remember, as the first of these things were hopping off, Trump kind of put out a statement that I think in his mind might have been meant to kind of distance himself, but really it just added to the flames. And this is not a guy who has said, I lost fair and square. So I kind of want to see what he's going to do. He's got a couple of days left. He's got a lot that he wants to be remembered for, but a large part of how you get remembered is how you go out.
And we did see, following the attack in the Capitol, Trump had promised a smooth transition. But is that something that we can still expect in the week ahead, you know, following, as you said, what's happening with regards to a possible second impeachment, with regards to him being removed from Twitter. We know he was very active on Twitter as well. So what do you think we can expect in the week ahead? Can we expect a smooth transition still?
No, of course not. In fact, not only no, but we haven't been getting a smooth transition at all. The Biden transition team has complained that they're being slow walked at every turn by the Defense Department, by the Office of Management and Budget, and others. And there's very little evidence that there's substantive cooperation to the degree that there has been in previous administrations. Look, Rachel, I'll tell you, I remember there was this funny little scandal when at the end of the Clinton administration, the George W. Bush administration came in and some of the keyboards had the letter W removed. And everyone got all up in arms about that. How unprofessional. The letter W is gone from the keyboards. Were that were true today. I mean, this is just the idea of how far we've come since then. But like that just sort of, I say that to say the scale of this. So no, I don't expect an orderly transition, but at the same point, like there probably was never going to be one. This is just more disorderly than we had expected.
And you mentioned Trump's. You'll be watching Trump's actions in the coming week. I understand he's also preparing at least one more round of pardons. What can we expect?
Well, this is a president who has not been bowed by criticism of the potentials for pardons of people who are close to him politically. He has gone and pardoned some people who were in connection with the Russia investigation. Donald Trump has said many times he thought that was a hoax that ensnared some of his most loyal followers. So I say that to say that Trump isn't somebody who's necessarily going to be constrained by norms as far as this goes. I would say that there's a large litany of people under consideration. It's very possible that Trump may look to pardon some family members. There's been some talk about whether the president is able to pardon himself.
Yes.
And in most normal administrations, you would say, okay, well, that's not going to happen. This administration is not necessarily a normal administration. It has tested the bounds of a lot of these norms. I can't say that he'll do any of that. Would I be shocked by the attempt? No, not at all.
And Derek, perhaps you can give us an update, just going back one last time to the attack in the Capitol. What's the latest with regards to arrests and action that's been taken following that day?
Well, we're seeing dozens of arrests play out nationwide. And the thing that was interesting about this to me, Rachel, is that well, there's a couple of things, but one of the big things in terms of trying to bring people to justice, this whole thing was videotaped. It, in many cases, was live streamed.
Across social media.
Oh, yeah. Everybody around the world has seen the dude with the face paint and the Viking horns and the raccoon cap. Well, it won't surprise you to learn that that dude got arrested. Why? Because it's hard not to. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like there was some great seal of anonymity going on here. So there is a lot of information available. You know, the Capitol is a place that has cameras all throughout it. It's hard to move. I've worked in that building many, many, many years. It's hard to move around without people knowing where you are. And so it's pretty easy to reconstruct what happened in that building at the time. This will be really easy for prosecutors. I think the big question here is how much do they wind up charging people? Are these little things? Are there plea bargains? Or do folks just say, to heck with it, we're going to throw the book at him.
And Derek, as you mentioned, you've worked in that building. I'm interested to hear your perspective. Were you surprised at the ease that the Capitol building was taken over by these rioters?
Yes, I was very surprised about that. This was an event that was known about for a long time. Operationally, you saw police officers showing up, not in like riot gear or anything like they were prepared for a fight, but in basic dress blue uniforms. The building itself was breached fairly easily. I was actually, the thing that surprised me the most is that once people got inside, that they were generally allowed to roam through the building without too much hindrance. Now, this I have seen in Washington, D.C. in some security settings. There was famously, 17 years ago, 16, somewhere in that ballpark, there was a woman who rammed her car into a security cordon near the White House, and there were more than a dozen bullets in her car before anyone asked her what was going on. That is a typical security protocol. You know, you breach security to a point and then the bullets fly. And I was actually really surprised with how held back the security response was. I think there's a lot of questions about that. And I think particularly the security posture between this event and the Black Lives Matter protests of last year, that's a thing that's already drawing security, and it should be noted.
We're speaking with Derek Wolbank, senior editor at Bloomberg. And moving forward now, Derek, as we've spoken about, we're just about a week away from President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. What will you be looking out for in the run-up to that event?
Well, I'm going to be looking to see what they're going to emphasize first. There's usually an administration comes in and they say, right, we want to tackle this thing, then this thing, then this thing. Biden has just a whole list of things that metaphorically are on fire. And you sort of say, where do you want to direct the water first? Now, I think that in terms of policy aims, you know, this is a guy who came to office as vice president, remember, in the last major economic crash. And so he is a guy who was put in charge of the economic recovery and the stimulus package by then President Barack Obama. So Biden's got a bit of experience here with that. So he has been saying a lot, let's get $2,000 checks out. Let's get additional stimulus. I would expect that to flow pretty quickly. The other thing I would expect really fast is that he's got a whole group of cabinet and top official nominees who I would say are veterans. This is a guy, he is not putting in a lot of newbies here. These are people who know Washington, who know their agencies, and I would expect some pretty sophisticated reversals of Trump policies and enactment of some things that Democrats have wanted to do for a long time. I don't think, even though Biden is a centrist Democrat and has been, I don't think that he's going to move slowly in his administration.
Sentiment in the U.S. at the moment as well on the back of what's happening with COVID-19. What's the latest on vaccines in the U.S. and to what extent do you think that'll help to lift overall sentiment?
Well, I think that the latest thing with the vaccines in the U.S., you are seeing a rollout pretty aggressively in the United States. The U.S. is further ahead than most nations in rolling out the vaccines. But you are starting to see a couple of hiccups. And mainly, the biggest one is once you start vaccinating your very, very frontline people, your medical workers and such, who gets it next? And one last thing I want to impart to the listeners. You all are a business-focused set. You remember when we started having this virus come into the fore, and the virus infection rates was an economic indicator, and you saw currencies move. Watch for this on the vaccine count too. Watch for stocks that are especially, you know, service focused, and watch for these currencies as well, because this is going to be an economic indicator as well. Bloomberg has a vaccine tracker project looking at all of this. I would highly recommend at Bloomberg.com. Go take a look, bookmark that. It's going to be the best source of tracking this going forward.
We will check that out. Thanks for sharing that, Derek. And it's been wonderful to have you with us again.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Derek Wolbank, senior editor at Bloomberg, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.